Is the beginning of term two?
Yes.
And we got to, I think we got to Chof Aleph.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that true? Yeah. Am I right with that?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so what were we on about? We were saying, where did we leave off last time? We left off last time, thank you, with the idea that you got to aim high in life. In your Ruchnius, you got to aim high. What did we say? We started talking about Hasidim and Tzaddikim. And I don't mean the guys with the fluffy hats. I constantly have to say this. I mean, what's a Tzaddik? Someone who's in line with the law. They do what they're told. They tick the boxes. They get it done. That's a Tzaddik. You're a Tzaddikus. If you've been told to do it, you've done it. You're a Tzaddikus. That's how we do it. We're not talking about people you put up on the wall. You're not talking about, oh, he's a Tzaddik. What, and other people aren't? Yeah, he's a super Tzaddik. That's very, very nice. But if you're 51 or more percent in line with Shulchan Aruch, you're a Tzaddik, right? A Chassid is an individual that jumps above and beyond the path of just standard Tzidkus and want to do things to try to please the Creator. They'll go out of their way to do more. Now, you should aim to be the latter. Why? Because if you aim to be the latter and you fall, you'll end up with the safety net of being a Tzaddik. Pretty good. I mean, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You end up being righteous. It's not a bad thing for Eilam HaBa, you know what I mean? But if you aim, no, that's beyond me. Who am I to jump to such lofty extremes in going beyond the letter of the law and trying to delight my Creator? I'm the kind of guy that punches a card. I'm 9 a.m. in and 5 p.m. I'm out. You know what I mean? Chunk, chunk. Now, if you miss 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., then you're late or you're an early checker-outer, you know what I'm saying? You come in at 9.30 and you leave at 4.25, you know what I'm saying? Such a person isn't fulfilling their contract. So too, if you only aim to be, to aim for tzidkus, for righteousness, and you miss that, what do you end up being? You know what I'm saying? So it's always better to aim higher and have the safety net of being in a safe zone, generally in your avodas Hashem, whatever it is you're doing. Now that doesn't mean you should take on chumras as law. You should know a chumrah is a chumrah and take it on that if you don't do it, you get back to at least fulfilling the halacha properly. Yeah? Again, you do that under the guidance of a spiritual mentor, whoever that is, a Rebbetzin for you, a Rav, whatever it is that you're doing. Should I do this? Do I do that? Beautiful vort from Rabbi Bernstein. Got an amazing vort going off. Just started. Not even started yet. I've not even started the first pasuk and I'm going off. Just Rabbi Bernstein. He was nifter many years ago. I taught his son. He's a London rabbi, I think. No. Rabbi Bernstein. No. Anyway, doesn't matter. So Rabbi Bernstein was quite famous. He gave over a lot of shirim on tape. It was back in the day on tape. He said a beautiful name. He gave it over. This isn't his vault, but I heard it in his name. Okay, you always got to give it over your name. Beautiful idea. Could be a worth coming moment. And you're lucky you just got here for a worth coming moment. You never know. Or you might say, it wasn't worth it. I've got to tell you. There were pagiyot and I should have stayed. Yeah, you never know. You never know. You could join the rest of them. I don't mind. Is it pagiyot? Is pagiyot nice? No, there's there was a shear that they were making pagiyot. No one turned up. So since then, pagiyot is what people want. Right. They don't want to hear Torah wisdom late at night. I want pagiyot in dippy sauce with sweet chili.
The men want the steak.
The men want the steak, the ladies like the pagiot. I don't know why. Anyway, now some women like steak, some men like pagiot. Anyway, we're divergent. We don't need to talk about this. Yeah, I like the steak. I quite like the steak, actually. I don't like pagiot. Stop it. Now, it's like this. Beautiful idea from Robert Bernstein. Amazing idea. You're going to love it. I'm losing my voice because I've been screaming all day and all that. I'm losing my voice. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to whisper a bit. It's like this. He says like this. Let's look at the letters of the Torah that start and end the Torah. The first letter of the Torah is base for Bereishis. In the beginning, starts with the letter base. The last letter of the Torah is Lamed for Yisrael. That's where no one arose like a prophet in Moses in all of Israel. That's how it ends off in the whole Torah. So it starts with the base and ends with the Lamed, right? Now, the beautiful idea with that. Baal, I'm going off. This is not what Robert Bernstein said, but while I'm here, I'll do this as well. Whatever, you know what I'm like. It's ridiculous. You're probably now thinking, now Pogger are actually looking far more attractive than actually sitting here trying to actually hold cop on total tangentialism. But it's like this. Base and Lamed make the word Baal, which is Baal-Bul. It's confusion. If you read from Bereishis to Devarim once, you're going to be very confused. But if now you've got that sorted, you restart going back to Bereishis, which is what we do on Simchas Torah. As soon as we have Chas and Torah, we go to Chas and Bereishis. Roll the whole thing back and start again. By the way, the Yetzer Hara accuses us on Simchas Torah. He says, look, they finished the Torah, and that's the end of it. Hashem says, but look, they're starting again on Simchas Torah. They're not saying, well, next week, next Shabbos, we'll do Shabbos praises. In the meantime, let's rejoice over the fact that Baruch Hashem, we've done 5,845 verses. That's enough for a year. No, as soon as we finish the brochas in Parshas Vasayis, the brocha, right back, do not pass go, do not collect £100. That was a Monopoly reference for anyone that's doing that. Not everyone gets it. Nobody plays Monopoly anymore. You go straight back to Bereishis, and you start again. Are you with me on this? Mm-hmm. Now, if you read it that way, then you're starting with the Lamed of Yisrael and going to the base of Bereishis, and you get Lev. An understanding heart can only be when you go over the material. A singular cursory reading of anything in Torah rarely gives off developmental fruits in you, your psyche, or your life. You're going to have to go through, this is a big limit for Torah, you have to go through Torah. You have to go through it, so you have to think about it, go over it, think it. It's not instant. Rabbi Rockmill, Zohar Salih Livrocha, a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, always used to say, we're living in an instant generation. Instant meals, instant pictures, instant everything. Instant, one button press. He says that's a massive problem for Tyra. He says Tyra is a long haul investment. You only start to learn it the second time around. A lot of ladies I teach Deruch Hashem to, I start a new Deruch Hashem show, they come to the second one. And I keep asking them, I think Mrs. Langer came to three of them. Yeah, it's the third one. I was like, what are you doing here? It's like, haven't you had enough? She was like, no. She says, you see, once you finish a body of work and you get a grip on it, you realize now I need to learn it. Mm-hmm. That's Tyra. That's a mark of Tyra. If you learn a secular subject, I don't know, like noun declensions in French or something like that, once you got it, you got it. You understand it. You know what I mean? 2 + 2 = 4. I don't need to revisit that. When it comes to her, everything needs revisiting. Everything. Now, this base and this lamed are very, very important. You've got base and lamed, right? Let's look at the letters, says Rabbi Bernstein, before the base and the lamed. And let's look at the letters after the base and the lamed. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So the letters before base, well, the letter before base is Aleph. Excellent. Don't let me cut you off there. I know you're all jumping to get to that one. Okay. We're going to call that Aleph. What is the letter before lamed? Chof. Ach. Now, what's the letter after? What's the letter after base? Gimel. Thank you very much. Someone's been drinking caffeinated coffee or something. Gimel. I know it's late. Oh, Gimel. I got that one. Ka-ting. 10 points. Mrs. Beagle. Say Gimel. And what's the letter after Lamed? Mem. Gum. Ach. Also this. What's pshat? Sometimes you want to take the letters before the Torah. You're going beyond what the Torah told you to do. Beyond what the Torah told you to do. You can do that. You can take on a chumrah. Kodesh Baruch Hu never told you to do that. You can do that. Gam ach. Gam is, I'm going to move it a bit later. I'm going to take a leniency. Gam ach. Both sides. If you're doing a leniency for me, or if you're doing a chumrah for me, gam ach. The Torah stretches to also include those letters before and after the stringencies of the Torah. If you need to take on a leniency because that's the situation you're in, that's fine. That's Tyra. Mm-hmm. Taking on a heter is not a bad thing if a Rav told you you need a heter. That's the right thing to do. If you go to Rav and he says, you don't do that, then that's your Tyra. Gam ach. The Torah expands to that. If you say, listen, for your particular avoid as Hashem, you need to be pushing the boat out a bit. Gam ach, either chumras as well. You need to be stricter. That's what you need to do. This is only done under spiritual guidance because you always got negez. You're always going to convince yourself about things for the wrong. You need someone who's outside of your framework to tell you, I understand what you're holding. This is actually what you need to do. Okay? Torah wisdom really, really, really counts. Go ask someone external. Okay? But if they tell you you're going to go to leniency, you're going to go to stringency on this, the Torah, gam ach, it also includes letters beyond itself or after itself to include the situation where you need to take on leniencies or stringencies. And this is the concept of aiming higher. You might say, I need to aim higher. Ask Rav. He says, yeah, indeed you should. Then you're going for the letters beyond the Torah. That's fine. That's also in the Torah. If it goes wrong, you go back to Tzidkus. If you say, listen, I need to push beyond because I went to a Mishle Shina, I was very inspired, and the Rav says, I know what you're holding right now, that's not for you, then you don't do it. But you always got to keep it at the back of your head. When can I get to the level where I can aim for Chassidus in my particular actions? I'm talking about how you wash up dishes on Shabbos. I'm talking about your conversation on Shabbos. Are you careful about Mimsoch Heftoch Avadabe Davar? Remember after the Gaza crisis shiur that I gave October? Do you remember that 2 years ago? When October 7th happened, and Rabbi Zimmerman came out and said, you've got to be careful what you discuss around the Shabbos table. All the Gedolim said, it's all coming down. What's one thing got to do? They gave the whole link to what you discuss on the Shabbos table. Are you careful to say, the printer's running out of ink? Can't say that on Shabbos. Because you're preparing for getting more ink. Okay, there's a sale on this Motzi Shabbos. I should probably get there. You can say there's a sale on. Happens to be there's a sale on at Blimey's Basement. There's a sale. Right. Blimey's Basement, there's going to be a sale. But you can't say, oh, their tichels pay their prices. Because they say, because I'm going to go there and say, Motzi Shabbos, it happens to be that I might know someone going there, Nish Shabbos Gerecht. Know what I mean? Saying it Nish Shabbos Gerecht doesn't allow you to break the sanctity of Shabbos. You know the famous joke with the Volvo, right? Everyone knows the joke with the Volvo, yeah? The Volvo? No?
Very fun. Good.
Okay, it's okay. Do you mind if I do it? Okay, I'll put it to you. I'll just put it to you. I won't tell it to you. Because guy goes into shul, Shacharis goes into shul, guy goes up to him and says, I'm selling my Volvo. So he says, Nish Shabbos Gerecht, how much for? He says, Nish Shabbos Gerecht, $5,000. He says, Nish Shabbos Gerecht, I'll ask my wife. Comes back at Mincha, and he walks up to the guy and goes, Nish Shabbos Gerecht, I've asked my wife, she says it's a good idea. He says, Nish Shabbos Gerecht, it's already sold. Right? Famous joke. Nish Shabbos Gerecht is Yiddish. Yiddish for saying Nish, not Shabbos Gerecht, talk. We don't talk about this on Shabbos, but how much for your car? How much for your car? Oh, it's $5,000. Don't let me tell you. Right. We're not allowed to talk about this. We're not allowed to talk about this, but my car's going. I'm selling my car. Saying the Shabbos Gerecht doesn't get you off the car. The prophet will come up to say the words in the Shabbos Gerecht. It's not a heter for you to be able to talk about business. You know what I'm saying? You've got to have
it. Doesn't apply there.
Sorry, what?
The Achgam doesn't apply.
The Achgam ain't on that one. There's a clear law on that one. Thank you very much for pointing that out to us all, Mrs. Jacobs. That's correct. But you've got to have in the back of your mind, when am I really going to push the boat out of it? When am I going to, how I talk on Shabbos, what I'm doing, how I'm taking challah, the carefulness of my mitzvahs, your mezuzah homework from the Derech Hashem people. Do I stop 15 seconds a month to think about the message of the mezuzah? How many mezuzahs will walk through during our lifetime? 3-4 million? How many times have you imbued the message of the mezuzah? None. What are you going to say to Beis Neshamah when they said you ever think about it? Think about what? The message of the mezuzah? I don't know, I didn't know there was one. You've got to at least start aiming. You've got to aim for tzidkus. If you fall, at least you've got kosher mezuzahs on the door. But if you aim high, think about the tzchah. You know what I'm saying? You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to think about the world. Lo lishmo leads to lishmo. You with me so far? That was where we got to last time. Are you with me so far? Let's finish off the parak. Chaf Aleph. That's the second chapter, verse 21. Let us begin. Okay. Ki yishoim. Yishkinu eretz. Usmimim. Vosuba. For the upright, oh God, I'd like to be able to speak. For the upright will settle in it. Now what's in it? They're going to settle in the land. And the wholehearted, the tamimim, are going to remember it. If you're going to make a note, here's the note. A yashar, an upright, is higher than a tom. Okay? Someone who's upright is a greater individual than someone who's just wholesome, wholehearted. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Let's really try to understand what's going on. A wholehearted person may go beyond the strict letter of the law in a passive way. What does that mean? He forgives and pardons wrongdoings. Why should I hold grudges? That's a good, solid person. No doubt about that at all. That's a very good... Have I skipped 20? Did I do 20?
No, yeah, you did this as well.
Did I do... I've done this one as well?
Yeah, the last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Basically, well, okay, so what am I saying? So you said, we're up to 22?
Yeah, I think so. You're on the last
really?
Week.
Okay, fine, let's do 22. I'm so sorry about this. I don't want to double up on you. Okay, Chazara, you just said, Eza Tamil Chacham. Who's a Tamil Chacham? He who does Chazara, says Rashi on Erevin. If you do Chazara, I'm sorry about that. Chaf Beis, I do apologize, please forgive me. Okay, Urushayim. May Eretz Yikoresu.
No. We don't have a note on Chaf Aleph. You don't have a what? No, we don't have the what you were going to say about your Shar and Tam. We don't have any notes on it, so you did not do it.
Hold on. You don't. What are you saying? We have not done it.
No.
Okay. Fine. I'm back. Is everyone okay for me to? You know what? Okay. I'm on 21.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, you see, first chazara for you, it is mamish new. Okay, for all those that are doing revision, you're going to get schar for revision. And for when you're learning new, you feel the chiddush or the new thing. Okay, the upright will settle in the land. Now, what's this land, by the way? The real land is Olam Haba. The real land is Olam Haba. Someone who is passive, they say, look, I'll do the right thing. I won't bear grudges or something like that. I'm wholehearted. I act with the wholesomeness of my heart. I'm wholehearted. I'm a wholehearted person. Then you get to do, now look what they're going to do. The wholehearted remains. A wholehearted person stays in the land. But a yashar settles in it. Can you see the difference in Lashon? Someone who is just wholehearted gets to get into Olam Haba. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying here? If you're wholehearted, you get to Olam Haba. But someone who is a yashar, yishkunu aretz, they're going to settle and develop the land. Someone who actively pursues doing good beyond the letter of the law. They go above and beyond the letter of the law. They're people that are going to settle in Olam Haba. They're the individuals that are going to build and develop the environment of Olam Haba. Stum a Tom, halavai would still be considered Tomim, but Stum a Tom, a regular wholehearted person, they get in, they get a ticket in. But it isn't as if the world revolves around them. They're in it, but they're not developing it. A Yashar individual who really goes actively beyond the letter of the law rather than passively, they'll be active in Olam Haba rather than in, but passive in Olam Haba. So Shlomo says, I want the best for you. You know, like a loving father teaching his child what he wants. I want the best for you. I want you to be a yashar. If possible, aim for being a yashar. Because in Olam Haba, you're far more active and developmental in the whole avir of Olam Haba than Stam Tom, who was passive in his life. He checked the boxes. He gets into Olam Haba and he sits. He has the tranquility of Olam Haba. But isn't as if he's a mover and a shaker in Olam Haba. I want you to be movers and shakers in Olam Haba. Yeah?
So the Tom is the... is the tzaddik and the
yosher
is the...
In this case, that's correct. The yosher is going beyond, in this particular analogy, the yosher is going beyond the chosid. Yeah. He gets to settle the land, develop the land, while a tom remains in it. Yivosribo, he'll get there and he'll sit. He's a tzaddik, he gets his reward very, very nice. I want better for you. Not only is it better for you to aim to be a chosid, because if you fail, the worst you can become is a tom or a tzaddik. Mm-hmm. I want even better for you. I want your experience in Olam Haba, when you're so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be highly active rather than passive. And those who are very active in this world in their developmental relationship with Hashem are extremely active in Olam Haba. And I want that for you, because I want the best bang for the buck for you. Why wouldn't I want you to be the big, greatest success? So you hear what I'm saying? That, we're talking very lofty ideas here, but it's pretty straightforward. Does this... How many... Chazara, you got all that... Yeah, that down anyway, I was fine. She doesn't speak like that, but whatever, my voice is going on. I can't do the exact impression now. I could never. Okay, now 22 everyone holds. Everyone holds that we haven't done 22. So I'm not in trouble for doing 22. Now, let's have a look at this. Rashoim, the evil with the wicked ones, may eretz yukoresu. They're going to be cut off from the land. They ain't getting into Olam Haba. We said that. Ding, ding. Oh, where's my bell? Ladies, who did Derech Hashem, which is most of you. All of... No. Okay, I said most. Oh, you didn't do it. Oh, no. Okay. Most of you. There's two reasons there's no evil in Olam Haba. Two reasons. Hitler and the Mechitza. Now, for the person who's sitting here, who didn't do that. That's like saying because of the turkey and the great butterfly of love. Doesn't mean anything. What does Hitler and the Mechitza actually mean? Why can't there be evil in Olam Haba? What's Hitler got to do with it? If Hitler were to get into Olam Haba, what's the problem?
Not justice in giving.
It would make the people who have earned rights to be there feel uncomfortable. God can't do that. He cannot make the righteous feel uncomfortable while he's giving it to them by allowing evil in. That's reason number one, which is good enough to be all the reasons you need. But there's a mutually exclusive second reason. What's the mechitza? Right, evil is the goop that he's made to be a distance between you and him. When he wants that relationship with you, he's got to scoop away all the evil, otherwise he can't be close to you. That in and of itself is a good enough reason not to allow evil into Olam Haba. Which means if there's a Russia, I'm telling you now. Now remember, Shlomo knew Derech Hashem very, very well. And Derech Hashem knew Shlomo very well. You know what I'm saying? It's all online. Rishayim, we said there's no room for Rishayim in Olam HaBar. Because the two exclusive reasons. Look, we got a pasuk in Proverbs to back that up. Rishayim Eretz Yikaresu. From the land, which what's the land that we know is the land, Olam HaBar. They're going to be cut out. They ain't going to be there. They're going to be excised from humanity. Voigdim Yischu Mimenu. Right? And traitors will be uprooted from it. So now, let's just make sure we know what's going on here. A Tom, who's a regular static, can remain. You have leave to remain in Olam Haba. A Yosha, the Yesharim, can settle there. Rishayim won't even be there. That's the Me'iri that says all this, by the way, as well. The Me'iri says this concept, right? Interesting idea. So now, all the wicked who today may enjoy great success, you may look at the wicked and say, oh, they're doing fantastically, Baruch Hashem, Kalein Ahara, Machdalei, but everything's going very, very well. In that particular, oh, but the fact that he's gained success and he's wicked, don't think that he's going to be successful in Olam Haba. I'm telling you now, Torah study can save you from all the tribulations in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. And you can't say that if someone's being successful in this world, that's a guarantee they're going to get to Olam Haba. It's not a guarantee. So if you see someone wicked, I'm telling you now, the rules are wicked people ain't getting in. You should aim to be a Yosha, a Chosid. If you fall back to a Tzaddik or a Tam, very nice. That ends Perek base. Yeah, according. Yes, Mrs. Jacobs.
I thought you said that after Perek Aleph, he's not going to mention any Rishayim. Why is he mentioning them here?
No. In Perek Aleph, we talked about hanging out with Rishayim and their effect on you. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with that. Now we're talking to the good guys. Perek Beis is talking to the good guys. He's telling you what the population of Olam Haba is going to be. Yeah, I want you to be a Yosha, not a Tom. I want to be a Chasida, not a just Stammer Tzedekus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rishayim, though, you got to know, they ain't there.
So what's the difference between them and the other word?
Oh, Vgoidim, traitors. Yeah, traitors would be... Now, notice, a Russia is cut off from the land, which means they did have a chalik. But someone who's actively betraying Hashem, the very essence of such a person is uprooted. And that has long-term ramifications for the people that they're related to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are different levels of Rishayim, but the bottom line is that the people that are going to be active are the people who have been more active in Olam Hazeh. I want you to push the boat out, says Shlomo. That essentially is the whole theme of the second perek. And with that, we segue into the third perek. And as I always like to do, I like to give a bit of an intro to the third perek before we go into it. Is that all right? Here we go for the intro to Perek Gimel. Now, there are Lamed Hei Pesukim. It's a bigger perek. There's 35 Pesukim here. This one only had 22. Okay, so 35 is it's a bigger number. There's more to cover. Now, in this whole perek, Shlomo is advising you to attach yourself dafka to Tyra and to work on your bitachon. Ladies, talk to me about the levels of how we get emunah bitachon and stuff like that. What's the complete basis of anything, if you want to develop a relationship to Hashem?
Knowledge.
Excellent. I'm so glad you said that. Knowledge. You got nothing without knowledge. If you're empty of knowledge, you can't build anything. If you have solid knowledge and you go through it over and over again, Das is the root and foundation of Emunah. What's faith according to Torah? It's not blind faith. I believe, yes, sir, I believe. That's not good enough. You have to believe because you know it so well, you don't ask it again. You understand? 2 + 2 = 4. I believe 2 + 2 = 4. I don't know it. I know it so well, I don't re-examine the concept. That's Emunah in Torah. In the secular world, you don't need belief because belief is something that you don't have any knowledge about. Once you have knowledge, the concept of belief is useless. So you put up. I'm saying a lot very, very quickly there, and I realise that I'm kind of gabbling, and that's probably wrong of me, and I'll say it again. I'm taking everything for granted that you're all like completely up to speed. I'm kind of just doing kazor myself, and that's not fair. It's not fair because I'm in therapy. It's not right. Okay, I'll do this again. In the secular world, the idea of belief is an acceptance of something with no knowledge at all. I believe the world is a carrot that's rotating and being slowly nibbled away by a giant bunny rabbit. When he gets to the top, it's Armageddon. I believe that. That's a religious belief. You can't tell me I'm wrong. In British law, you're not allowed to have a go at beliefs. Someone's a vegan and they force veganism upon someone else and their family, because that's a religious belief. Pastafarianism is a joke religion which takes the mickey out of all other religions. And because of that, they have to wear a colander on their head. Now, for passport photos, you're not allowed to wear a colander on your head because it obscures your head and it's not considered religious headgear. They went to court and he says, I'm a Pastafarian. And they believe in the giant spaghetti monster, which is obviously, it's a British religion called Pastafarianism. Pastafarianism.
And anything you'd say.
Really? So they went to court. They went to court. And this guy had a passport photo with a colander on his head to take the mickey out of stupid people that wear religious headgear. And the judge said, you have to take your photo again without it. He goes, no, it's a religious belief. And they ruled in his favour. That's it. He's allowed to have a colander on his head for his passport photo. He's making a point as to how stupid religion is. Now, what is a religious belief? What's a religious belief? You can believe the world is a giant carrot. There's no, obviously, rockets have taken, they take pictures, the world is a ball. And we knew that 3,000 years ago from the Gemara that we said it was a ball. Everyone laughed at the Gemara, it's clearly flat. All the going believed it was flat until they went on a rocket, that's what was around. And the Gemara was right. Okay, but there's no carrot with a giant great bunny of doom eating it up or anything like that. I can choose to believe that. In the Gosh vote, you can choose to believe that. But there's no knowledge. There's no knowledge. Belief exists in the absence of knowledge for them. For us, there is no belief without knowledge. Emunah is solid faith based on Das. Are you with me on this? This we did over and over again. Now, what's the ultimate effect of Emunah? What's the ultimate thing you can get out of Emunah? Bitochon, trust. What is trust? Cashing in your Emunah. Making life decisions or movements based upon your faith. I believe absolutely that God's going to do this, so I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to go there. That's the highest thing. Trust is the gold medal. Bitochon proves you got Emunah and you got Das. So if you've got Bitochon, you've got everything else. You know what I mean? If you get a gold medal in fencing, I don't need to worry about whether your posture's okay and whether you've got a good sword. If you've got a gold medal, everything's in play. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're obviously very, very good at it. Bitochon's the gold medal, okay? This is something that the third parish is going to talk about a lot, is acting with Bitochon. Okay, next up. Accepting rebuke and searching for wisdom are highly desirable. You've got to be able to take Musa. And you've got to try hard to look for real chokhmah. And it will guarantee a very fulfilling life. You should also, this perek talks a lot about, striving to be kind and caring and taking every measure you can to avoid conflict. That's a big deal in life. I think I've shared with you the Sukkah Stovid about you get asked after 120, did you set aside time to learn Torah in your life, right? More for men than women. Women also have to learn what they have to learn, but men have to, more of an obligation on this. So if a person turns around and says, I couldn't because I was very busy earning a living. Now that is a good answer. Shemaim will accept that. Necessity is no shame. If this is what you need to do. What do? They open the books on such a person. And the thing they look for is whether they were involved in petty arguments. No, you just said you were too busy to learn Torah, so they should be looking at, I don't know, the hours that they work or their income. I don't know, like an HMRC audit or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, let's see if they got involved in argumentation. Why? So the Medrash says, getting involved in petty arguments takes a lot of time and effort. How much time is that? You could have sat and learned for that time. Once a person is involved in petty arguments left and right, they've got plenty of time. They can't claim lack of time for doing mitzvahs and Tyra if they were argumentative. What an amazing piece of correlation that you've very counterintuitive. I never thought of that. Baruch Hashem for the Medrash, right? Baruch Hashem, we got the Sukkos David bringing us the Medrash, right? If an individual is involved in petty arguments, you got plenty of time on your hands. And if you've got plenty of time on your hands, you can't claim, oh, I couldn't involve myself with more mitzvahs or Torah because I was just so busy. No, you weren't. You're busy arguing. And you should have stopped that, says Shlomo in this prayer. You've got to do everything you can to avoid conflict. Be Roy Dave Shalom. It's going to be a big deal. Okay, next point. Okay, there are 35 verses. There's more than one point here. If you delve into Torah and develop yourself through it, Hashem will actively protect you from evil and grant you a superior quality life. You will enjoy what you have more than someone who has more but can't enjoy it as much. By the way, I told you this. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that on Rosh Hashanah, not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside for you the money for the year, he sets aside how much satisfaction you're going to get from it. How very interesting. Let's say there's a guy that owns a law firm with many, many barristers and solicitors, and he's on a very, very high wage. Let's pretend this for a second, yeah? And his secretary, the legal secretary, is on a relatively low wage. Could be decreed she enjoys that wage far more than him. He's going to have sleepless nights worrying about leftover. He's bringing in far more capital, but he's enjoying far less of it. That's also decreed on Rosh Hashanah. How much you get and how much of it you can actually use. Interesting idea. Mm-hmm. Come on, interesting idea, right? That you got to have that money. You've got to daven. On daven on Rosh Hashanah, there's a shame you set aside for me and my family and that we can use it. Mm-hmm. It's better to be set aside less that you can actually utilize and enjoy than you get far more than you don't have access to. Mm-hmm. It's locked up in some...
In the Brach and Shmon Esra in
Tefillah. Hmm?
In the Brach and Shmon Esra in Tefillah, it said one of the things you're daven for. You should have enjoyment
from what you got. You've got to have enjoyment from what you got. If you learn Torah, Kodesh Baruch will give you a special bracha that what you do have will be very satisfying. We'll see that. Rus, the second period of Rus, she was the butt. She ate only a very small amount of parched grain. She felt completely full. A handful of grain, that's not enough. What's that one handful? I need 6 or 7 for a meal, minimum, right? She had one handful, she was like, wow, I am stuffed. Whew, I need to go sleep, you know what I mean? Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave her a tremendous bracha with the little that she had. You have one mouthful, I'll make it like 50 steaks. You won't be able to eat anymore. That's a bracha. You'll be very sated with what I give you. Be fine. That's what Torah will give you. Says the Mitzvah Stovid, dealing graciously with fellow people and conducting yourself with integrity should always be the forefront in your mind. Am I being Yoshar? Why do I want you to be a Yoshar? Because I want you to be Yoshar in Olam Haba, right? Always deal faithfully with great integrity. We're also told that the Ralbag says in the third parak that you've got to trust in Hashem and rely on his protection rather than fooling yourself into thinking that you're perfect and your wisdom can solve problems. Don't think it's down to you. You've got to do Hishtadlus and that's it. The Mitzvah Dovid says it's vital for a Jew to maintain a perspective that your ultimate goal should be to carry out Hashem's will. Everything else should be secondary. Everything else that Hashem gives you is one way or another a tool for that. That's Mitzvah Dovid. Okay. When Hashem punishes us, says the Mitzvah Dovid, it's always out of love. He's not vindictive or maliceful. He wants to improve you to fulfill your potential. He's not mean. Rabbi Israel Tauber, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, told me that many people feel as if God's the bogeyman under the stairs. And he's going to jump out and get you. Okay, he says, couldn't be further from the truth. If something negative is happening, it's only for your own benefit. That's the Mitzvah Dovid. Yeah? Okay, also, teaching Torah. There's a thing here for teaching over Torah. Rashi brings down on the third parak. You may say, I've got to learn, and I don't have any time to tell anyone what I've learned. Because the time that I'm taking to teach will take away from my own personal learning. Because if I know the material, I'm wasting time telling someone else about it when I could be learning new things that I don't know. Right? So, you know what I'm saying? That's a good. Rashi says, don't think like that. It says, a teacher achieves greater clarity and understanding by teaching than you would be by learning alone. So you're going to get trained. Don't think, oh no, you can't be a teacher and you can't give over anything because you're wasting time. Not true. The Ralbag says, the Torah should not be viewed as restrictive because really it's going to achieve the most satisfying life both spiritually and physically. Also, staying far removed from sin helps avoid tragedies. That's the Mesudas Dovid. And you should always try, says Rashi, to deal compassionately with the poor and help wherever possible. And stay away from strife and from the influence of the wicked, which as we saw is a massive thing in the first parak. That's the whole third parak all wrapped up, all 35 verses. Let's jump into the beginning of the third parak. It's a good time to do that. Let's do it. Let's see what we can do, right? Okay. So we finished the second parak. Let's jump into the third parak. Now, my logo, if you have a look for Mishlei online, I've got like a square, like a picture, with diamonds and jewels and stuff like that. I tried to do something. So for Rus, I did the wheat, the barley harvest, the barley. And Purim was Grogger and stuff like that. And I can't remember what all the others were. Kehelis was like a shining of light through something because it was like a clarity that you get. This is like jewels. Why did I pick these cut jewels for the concert of Mishle? Could be there's a pasuk behind it. Look at Gimel Aleph. Bani, my son, he's talking to you like a beloved child. Shlomo is amazing. He's giving out Torasi al tishkach. Notice it's Torasi. It's my Torah. Don't you forget it. That's an interesting thing. Now, that intonation is not normal. I would translate, posh pshat, if I'm reading this, I'd say, my son, don't forget my Torah. Right? No. My son, my Torah, don't you forget it. What's he telling you? It's my Torah. Don't think that this doesn't work. I'm the author of the Torah. I know what I'm doing. This is my Torah. You're learning it. It will protect you, right? You understand how I'm translating that? Don't do the straight translation. You've got to understand the intonation. My son, my Torah, don't forget. U'mitzvoisai yotzli be'echa. Let your heart keep my commandments. Very unusual idea. Let your heart keep my mitzvahs. Just to the heart, keep it. Okay, maybe like imunu and things like that. Yeah, okay, maybe that is from the emotions. But generally, the mitzvahs that we do are done with our bodies. Okay, whatever. Let's get into it. Shlomo has already taught us in the first parak and a bit in the second to distance ourselves from wicked people. And in the second parak, he says you have to seek wisdom. It says here the Mephoshim, the Al Shech HaKadosh brings that you should seek out the Torah as if it were treasures of jewels. You should look at the Torah and go, it's like literally like a chest. You know, pirates, they had to bury their treasure. They couldn't go to banks, right? Because everything was robbed. So you used to bury their treasure into desert islands, right? And you got that X marks the spot and they would open it. And what's inside of it? It's like all cut jewels and gold coins. That's how you should view the Torah, says the Al-Sheikh. Now, says the Al-Sheikh Kodesh, your Yetzirah may come to you and say, but I got to go to work. Now that's what the entire Dor said to Jeremiah. We can't sin, and Jeremiah chided the entire Dor. This is a Medrash Tanchuma, by the way, on Parshas Beshalach. The Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Beshalach says that Jeremiah was telling everyone, you've got to learn as much Torah as possible. And people went against that. And they said, no, we have to go to work because we can't become impoverished. So what happened? What are we going to eat? If we all sin and learn Torah, there's no food. At God's command, Jeremiah displayed the jar of man from the Aaron. In the Aaron with the broken Ten Commandments, the whole Ten Commandments, and the Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and a jar of man. And he was allowed, you've got to do this, the Mashiach will do the same thing, by the way. When the Mashiach redeems us, he's going to take out that jar of man, and he's going to show us, this is what we ate. Don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to look after us, which means it's going to be a time of great difficulty, and we're going to be very scared. The only reason you need to see man is because you need chizuk. And man is a big chizuk. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rain down bread for you, what are you worried about? Right, you're only going to be shown it if you're worried about something. So Mashiach's going to show us this to show it ain't going to be so easy in the beginning of Mashiach because he's going to make a big change. He's going to be a bit scary. He's going to show us the man. All right, so amazing idea. No, so okay. Oh, that's because so much to talk about the man. Oh, it doesn't matter. I won't do it because I've already gone off to it so much anyway. Okay, whatever. I'll go off maybe later. Okay. So there. So he showed them the man. He said, "Look, here's the man. Nothing's going to prevent you from making a living now." You could argue on that. Oh, that's very nice that Jeremiah said there's the man and stuff like that. But that's the merit of an entire generation. He was telling the whole Dor, look, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's giving you the man. We've no guarantee that God's going to shower bread down from the heavens for any individual. Maybe, well, my son, don't forget my Torah. Yeah, but I've got to go earn a living. I have to forget your Torah. I have to go learn it. I'm not part of a generation like Jeremiah or in the Midbar where Kodesh Baruch Hu was reminding us about the man or anything like that. I'm scared. You can't answer me with a man like Jeremiah that he's going to give me man or some kind of a mate. I got to go look because the generation's not holding by that. There's a response. Solomon has a response. He says like this. He says, you should have a secondary profession or trade, while Torah study remains your primary concern. Whatever you do as a living, at the back of your head, the most important thing is to learn. Now, we learn this out from Pirkei Avos in the first parak, the 15th Mishnah, and also Rambam on Hilchos Talmud Torah 3:7. You should have some other trade. It's incumbent upon a father to teach his son some kind of trade. Going to school and getting exams possibly could be Mekayim this. But both your spiritual and material welfare will be secured by your hatzlacha in making sure you remember the fact that Torah has got to be your primary concern. You've got to have a trade, and a Kodesh Baruch will bless your trade if you see what's going on correctly. Now, you might argue that with so little effort in my business, you can't say, if I'm not going to put much time into my business, because I've got to sit and learn, then if Hashem does make me successful in my business, then it's a nice, like the man. So if I go to, you know, the Chofetz Chaim used to be a greengrocer. You know that? He was a professional greengrocer. He ran a greengrocer shop. That was the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbeinu Yonah, oh, I happened to bring it. I brought Rabbeinu Yonah to Shara Tshuva. He brings that if you should have a business, you should work out what your overheads are. No 9 to 5. As a secular zach. You work out how much money you need. How much money you need to be able to run the business and turn the profit that you need. Once you finish that, you shut the shop, you go back to the Beis HaMedrash. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, that's Pirkei Avos, that's the Chofetz Chaim. They all say exactly the same thing. The Chofetz Chaim himself had a grocery shop, and it was open, and he sold grocery. He was a greengrocer. A greengrocer. Sold beans and lettuce and all these kinds of things, right? Once he worked out what his overheads were and what his profit margins were, shut shop, went back to the Beis HaMedrash. He didn't say, well, it's 9 to 5. I can't close until 5, and then I have to go home, and I've got to have dinner, and I've got to eat with the kids. Oh, I'm not going to have time to go to church. If he's finished by 1 o'clock, shuts by 1 o'clock. If he finishes by 10:30, it was a great day. He shuts shop at 10:30. You know, like closed at the Beis HaMedrash, you know what I mean? Like, tell the sign that. You turn around and say, hold on. I'm only working for a few hours a day. I'm getting tremendous hatzlacha in those few hours a day. Isn't that like God raining man down for me? Isn't that going to eat away into my schar in Olam Haba? If Hashem is giving me such a tremendous open bracha in my, I do a little bit of work, bracha Hashem, get to spy everything I can sit and learn, then isn't that like a nace? And I'm going to have to pay. I'm going to have to pay for that nace with my schar in Olam Haba. Don't worry about it at all, says Shlomo. Says that don't worry about it. If you've got a siddur available, actually. So if you've got a regular weekday siddur, it's a very interesting vor. The Vilna Gaon as a vor. Thank you so much. You know, we raise Hagba. There's in shul, after the laning of the Torah, we have to hold it. Ashkenazim do it after the laning. Sfarim do it beforehand, like in shul they open up beforehand. But after we've done the laning, we do something called Hagbah, which is where we lift up the Torah. We lift up the Torah. Everyone should see the words of the Torah, right? And then afterwards, says some add the following verses from Proverbs. It might have been worth coming. This is a Vilna Gaon. You might like this, you might not. I don't know, but I'm going off anyway, and it's important you know about it. But it's kind of related to maybe I'm not going off, or maybe I'm going off by saying I'm going off. Okay, so it's like this. It's a tree of life for those who grasp it, and its supporters are praiseworthy. Right? It's paths of pleasantness, and all of its paths of peace. Who's going to discuss that? When you keep a Torah lifestyle, if you're doing it right, and you're avoiding strife, it's a very pleasant, it's busy, but it's a pleasant lifestyle. Now, here's what's really important. Okay, listen to this. Erech yomim biyamina. Now, most people do not understand what's really going on here. Lengthy days are at its right. Besmoila, and at its left, Oshav HaChavod. Wealth and honor. What's this right and left? Says the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei. This is a quote from Mishlei. We say this as a reading Torah. Vazoi Satara. There's, you've got to actually see the letters before you say Vazoi Satara. If you don't see the letters, you can't say the pasuk.
Really?
Yeah.
So, the
so if you can't see it, you shouldn't say it. Now, why is that? If you notice,
sometimes
when
people look in your
siddur. No. That's a second thing. No, that's a second thing. So pointing to it with a pinky is brought in the Ma'am Loez as a minig. Some people do it, and Imamish people berate it. Fools, he says. Fools. Do they really think the kedusha of the Torah is going to jump off the letters onto their pinkies and then they're going to kiss it? The idea is we should point that that's the Torah and nothing else, right? That's, by the way, when someone gets an aliyah, they should wrap up the Sefer Torah, or they should look away and make the bracha. Why? We're scared people who don't know will think that the words of the bracha that he's about to make is in the Torah, and it isn't. We don't want to misrepresent the Torah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a question. You shouldn't wrap it up, because that second that you're taking of wrapping it up is delaying the whole community. You can't delay the community for a second. The time it takes to roll the Sefer Torah is a delay. So don't roll it, just look away. Because what are you doing? Wasting the Gehillah's time for that 1 second. Interesting idea, right? That's how Mishaberach for sick people work. You know the Mishaberach happens at the end of Leilin Shabbos, and then there before Mishaberach, you know what I'm talking about? So you make a whole spiel, say for Esther, Bas, or whoever, whatever it is, and then they go, right. How does it work, says the Michtav Meliyahu in the second Chalik. It says a very, very interesting idea in the Chalik of Michtav Meliyahu, the second Chalik, Rabbi Dessler. He says like this. You doing that is delaying a whole Kehillah from Kiddush. And people love Kiddush. You know when Musaf comes along, you can hear sometimes the clink, the ladies are like setting up, there's a clink of the glasses, and there's a smell, which is a mixture of cholent, whiskey, cake, and wine. It's a special smell, herring, yeah, depends where you go. It's a smell which is reserved for Kiddush. You can't smell that smell outside of a Shabbos. Do you know what I'm talking about? You smell. Now, by the way, it makes you happy. When you smell that, people are, oh, it's Kiddush, we're going to have cake. That's why, because Kahanim's only in Musaf. Why, says the Taz, people are happier at Musaf because it's close to Kiddush. And when you're happier, you get brocha more. So put in Birkas Kahanim, only in Musaf, not in Shacharis. The only time we don't do it is Shacharis of Simchas Torah. We put Birkas Kahanim there because people are happy anyway. If you're happy anyway, have the bracha anyway. Because bracha sticks to people who are happy. Oh, I'm going off. I know. I'm lost. I know. It's very difficult to keep track here. You should know. When Haman went in to ask for permission to kill Mordechai, and Ahasuerus couldn't sleep that night, and he was reading the ledger, and he says, who am I going to do this for? What am I going to do? And he goes, oh, well, it must be me. Well, you put him on the horse, and you give him, then you put the crown, and you say, this is what happens to an interview. He goes, great, do that for Mordechai. And he said, Mordechai who? And he said, Mordechai HaYehudi. What do we learn out from that? Mordechai is a Goyish name. My name's Mordechai. It's a Goyish name.
No way.
Do it for John. And Haman said, John who? And Ahasuerus said, John the Jew. We don't know his Hebrew name. Esther is a Goyish name. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah. We don't know Mordechai's Jewish name. My name's Mordechai. It's a Persian name. Persian name. Mordechai. It means a pleasant spice.
But people have been named after him.
Alexander. Got Sender. Everyone's called Sender because Alexander the Great came to destroy Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? So he said, go to John the Jew. He said, John the Jew, I just came here to ask you to kill him. He goes, too late, you got to go on him. Now he went and he took all the stuff, because he's got to do it. He had all the folded up clothing and he was waiting. He saw Mordechai was davening Shemona Esrei. The Medrash says he waited for Mordechai to finish. Why? Why would Haman wait? You should, Jew, I've got to do a job with you. No, I've got to wait. I'll wait for him to daven. Why? Because at that time he didn't know who's going to be honoured. Which means he was davening with great sadness about what was going to happen to all the Jews. He said, good, let him daven with sadness because Hashem hates that. Mm. He was very frum, Haman. He said, Hashem hates tefillahs where you're moaning. But if I knock it, if I interrupt him, what's the din? He knew the din. If you interrupt someone in the middle of the Shemona Esrei and they've got to speak to you, what have they got to do with the Shemona Esrei? They have to do it again. They have to repeat it, right? But if I tell him the king's going to honour him and I'm going to have to be leading him, he'll be overjoyed. And if he's overjoyed, his second Shemona Esrei will be full of joy and God will answer him and he'll shtip me. Better I just leave him, finish his sad Shemona Esrei and I'll be in a better position. Mm-hmm. Our worst enemies are the ones that know the most about it. Mm-hmm. He was mummish, clued up to the hilt this summer. The more I got a whole, if you look, listen to Shira, yeah. He mummish knew it left and right. He knew. He was always thinking of the Torah, what can I do? Because the Torah, he was mummish. Amazing. Oh, how does it? He was a Malek. A Malek almost were Jews. Oh, so much to discuss. No. Their mother, Timnah, made a Malek out of her malice of being rejected. She wanted to do anything to become a member of Avraham's family. She went to marry Avraham. Avraham rejected her. She went to Yitzhak, rejected her. She went to Yaakov, rejected her. She went to the Shvatim, rejected her. She went to Esav. Esav would marry anything. Did it have legs? I'll marry it.
But he rejected
her. Even he wouldn't touch her with a disinfected barge pole. There was something wrong with her. No, there was something wrong. There was some spiritual negativity. She was a princess. Finally, she went to Esav's son. Anyway, she went to Esav's son and said, could you marry? He said, I won't marry you, but I'll have you as a concubine. She said, good enough. At least I can be a member of Yaakov's family. But because of the malice she felt with the constant rejection, she wrote a will, which we have in our Sforim. The will of Timna. We have it. And it says, everything you do has to be to destroy Jews. Your very raison d'etre is to hate them with the fire bit of your soul. Interesting concept. How do I care? Yeah. Okay, Mordechai. Oh, so when you're lifting up Hagba, I'm sorry. When you're lifting up Hagba, people say, you don't kiss the pinky. You can point to it. You can say, that's a Torah. What you're meant to do is bow.
Your talent.
No, you're meant to bow. When you see the Torah being raised, you should bow. That's actually the minhag. Minhag Ashkenazis to bow. Here's the deal. You might see men running to the bimah to look at the sefer as it's being picked up. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they've got to see the letters. And actually, their eyesight's not so great. And once they see the letters, only then can you say Vezosa Terazah Shem Hashem, because only that justifies the pasuk being said. Then afterwards, there are these additional pasukim which I've just read to you about the idea of at its right and its left. And now I've got to give you the Vilna Gaon. I'm coming back to the whole Vilna Gaon. Listen to this: Orech Yomim Biyamina, length of days at its right, while in its left is Oshav V'Chovod. What is Orech Yomim? Length of days is, of course, Olam Haba. Olam Haba, length of days. That's what the Torah says. You honor your mother and father, or you do things like that. Length of days. What length of days? Some people don't. Answer is, we're talking Olam Haba. Length of days is Olam Haba. It's an oblique reference to Olam Haba. That is only if you learn Torah Lishma. If you learn Torah Lishma, I will give you big Olam Haba. What's Besmaila? What about if you learn Torah Lo Lishma? And you're learning Torah purely for the brochas that the Torah gives. I'm learning for Olam Haba, but I'm learning because I want the brochas. Still, Oshav V'Chovod in this world. Even if you learn Torah for the wrong reasons, Hashem will bless you. Okay, you're learning wrong. Oshav V'Chovod, I give you greatness. There's no loss with Torah. There's Torah Lishma, which is unbelievable. And even Torah Lo Lishma is fantastic. Okay, it's fantastic. That's what it means. And it's left, i.e. when you're not learning it for exactly the right reasons. That you'll still get Oshav V'Chovod. You are going to win. So, I don't work so much, so I want to sit and learn Torah. Because I want the brochas, you'll still get them. I'll give you, and I won't take away from your Olam Haba, by the way. Even though I'm giving you a nace, you don't need 3 hours work. You made 7 hours worth of gelt. I'll organise that for you. You're going to sit and learn? Fantastic. Don't think I'm going to cut that out of your Olam Haba. You might say, I don't want to live like that because then I'm going to have to pay for an Olam Haba. No. It's like, I'm giving it to you anyway. I've decided I'm giving it to you. What an amazing benefit. Do you hear what I just... Does that all tie up, or did it all get lost in Haman and Mordechai? Did you lose that, or you got it? You got it?
Yeah.
You got it? Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well done. You're well trained to follow my, like...
That's what he says, yeah.
Right. Ask your Rav. But really, the din is that you're mentioning Hashem's name, and that pasuk really should only be said if you see the Ois of the Torah. In some shuls, I just went to Boden. I was in Boden. The ladies' shul in Boden and in Hale, they're very big when they design the shul in Hale and Boden, that the ladies' section is directly over the bimah. And when I mean directly over the bimah, I mean you're standing literally on top of the bimah. So like the bimah has been organised to be back and high, and the ladies' gallery is there. So when you look down, you can mumish see the Ois of the Torah as they're laning it. That was something the ladies really said, we can't see the Torah. Okay, but Vakasha, you should know though that it's a duty for men to be in shul. It's not a duty for women. But there was this idea that what we don't feel as if we're getting to find. So they built it like that. You can actually see the eyes of the Torah. As they're laning, you can see it as key. That's how close it is to the actual bimah. They made the ladies' gallery quite low. So they're literally sitting there, they're literally looking at the Sefer Torah as it's being laned. Different places, different strokes, different folks, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Oh, how do I get to that? Yeah, okay, fine, so we're done with that. Don't think that you're going to pay in your Olam Haba if I give you a brocha in this world, that I give you a tremendous brocha because you decided to sit and learn, yeah? Also, there's a very important idea. God says to you, it's very, very important, I want you to trust me before I trust you. Really interesting idea. It's like this. Why should I trust you to study Torah only after you've earned a good living? You've got to go out all day and make enough money, then you'll sit and learn. You're deceiving me because you'll end up not learning. Rather, you trust me and study Torah now and trust me to make you wealthy. Because it says in verse 16, in her, the Torah's left are wealth and honor. We just said, even if you go for the left, I'm still going to give you Oshav V'Chovod. He says, listen to this amazing Al Shechodesh. Better a person trusts in God than that God should trust in a person. If anyone's going to let God down, it's going to be us. But he never lets you down. God, you're never going to be able to go after 120 and say, you let me down. He never did. He never will. But after 120, he might turn around and say, you let me down. That he might be able to say quite adequately. Even if you're learning only for the Oshav HaChavad, but you still got to do something. At least it's besmoila. You're learning. You're sitting and learning for the wrong reasons. You want the bracha. But you're still taking out the bitochen to sit and learn just to get the bracha. I'll give it to you. But you can't say, no, I've got to go work 7 hours a day and I can put away 30 minutes for Torah later because that's not true. You could, in your particular predicament, learn for 2-3 hours a day. So that's what I'm expecting of you. Someone that can only do 2-3 hours a day, someone can do 40 minutes a day, that's all I'm expecting. But someone that can do 4-5 hours a day and doesn't because they're working, they're doing very well in their living, that is something which Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that's not okay. You've got to try your best. Now there's a famous, we're going to finish with this. I started a few minutes late, so we've got 1.5 minutes. Yeah, I've only done 55 minutes. I've got a short change, but I'm not going to go that far. Just going to finish one idea. Ein kemach, ein Torah. Ein Torah, ein kemach. Very famous idea. If there's no flour, if there's no Torah, there's no flour. But if there's no flour, there's no Torah. What does that mean? The famous concept is, if there's no flour, they say, first, if there's no flour, if I don't have food, I can't eat. But if you don't learn Torah, you ain't going to have food. The whole world is based upon limud Torah. So it's like this. You should say, let God first sustain me, and after I'll study Torah. That's not the proper approach. The proper approach is the opposite, says Shlomo. If there's no Torah first, there for sure will be no flour forthcoming from God, because the whole world is being supported on those that learn Torah. I'm feeding the people in China based upon what Klal Yisrael are doing, sitting and learning. I'm doing that. We know that. We know when Avraham Avinu was captured, the tradesmen in China... It says the Medrash, there were tradesmen in China who were terrified for their panasa, because they knew that all the panasa comes to the world through Avraham Avinu. And if the kings have captured Avraham, which it wasn't, it was light, it was a dead ringer for Avraham, it was a dead lookalike for Avraham, they thought, oh my God, everyone said they've captured Avraham. What are we going to eat? Right? Notice, it's very, very important, and we'll finish with this. The verse says, my son, study because you're my son. You're my b'ni. And it's Torossi, it's my Torah. Don't forget the fact that you're learning my Torah because you're my son. Let your heart keep my commandments. What does that mean? Perform mitzvahs with your heart and not by rote. Don't make Judaism a by rote experience. Make it emotionally active. I want you to be emotionally invested and happy and excited with the mitzvahs that you're doing rather than, yeah, we got to Pesach again, another Nacha Pesach. Noch a Pesach. No! Baruch Hashem Pesach! I'm going to talk about all the miracles. It's going to be great. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Right? Because they're my commandments. They're me. You're getting close to me by doing that. Have your heart involved, because you realize when you do your mitzvahs, it's me that you're forging a relationship with. It's my Torah. It's me. You should feel as if you're learning Torah diligently because it's me and it's my Torah, not because it's what you got to do, because what you got to do, it's what we do. Yeah, feeling running out of gas, you know what I mean? You're like, you're just driving on air, you know what I'm saying? What do the Germans say? Lift and Leben. You know, lift and Leben, you know, we're running on air and love, you know what I'm saying? We've got nothing in a tank, you know what I'm saying? Shouldn't be like that for you, Judaism. Don't be tired and stayed with it. Be ever fresh and ever effervescent. Why? You're my son, you're my daughter, and it's my Torah. What do you think this is? A, you're my family, and B, this is my Torah. I remember that, Sinai, me giving it over Moshe Rabbeinu, remember that? That's still going on. This is it. Come on. Put some love into it. You know what I'm saying? Serve it with your heart. That's what the first parak is telling us. Get active, get real, and learn for that reason. I'm doing this because the Kodesh Baruch Hu behind it. What I'm doing is it's cultural. It's cultural. Yeah, it's cultural. Culture can only take you so far when you think of mitzvahs, because many mitzvahs are completely irrational. You can't tell it's going to be cultural. You can't say people are like not going to be able to handle a pen on Sabbath Shabbos because it's just culture. It's got to be beyond that. It's got to be that I'm doing this because Hashem has commanded me and I'm forging a relationship with him. Make it active. The activity binds you. It sticks you to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's fantastic. That's what I'm saying. My son, my child, don't forget, it's my Torah. You're doing this for me. This is a relationship, okay? And that's the end of that first prayer. But as Hashem, we'll carry on with this.